Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
Send me videos of all the kids in assembly screaming my name. That fills me with absolute love and pride. Like, I mean, like nothing else. And I want to inspire them. I'm just a normal boy from Monday Town. Like.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
That's Arctic Monkeys there with Bet You Look Absolutely Devastated This Morning. Yeah, it's Off the Ball Breakfast. It's Friday morning. Standard show. We have the papers coming up. We'll have Andy Reid, Keith Tracy, possibly Keith Friday. And we'll have all our people on the ground from Praha. If you missed it last night, if you missed it, it finished Czechia 2, the Republic of Ireland 2, after extra time. And on penalties, the Czechs prevailed after a couple of misses by Ireland. Heimir Hallgrímsson simply used the word pain, the Republic of Ireland manager, to describe his emotions. The music's cut, there is no messing. This is a very clean intro. So we have Darragh McNaughton, Eve Conway and Shane Hannan here. Welcome to Ireland's biggest sporting wake. You are very welcome. You can be as much a part of this show as you wish. And who knows? Who knows? Maybe as the show goes on and this becomes a cathartic experience, we'll feel all the better about what has just happened. But as far as sporting tragedies go, there's a little else like this.
Yeah. I suppose, like, you're trying to, after something like this, you try and compare it to previous feelings you've had. As a 24-year-old man, there's probably not too many in my time. Just absolute devastation. It feels like, even though we hadn't earned anything, it feels like we've lost something. I have a ticket to the game on Tuesday in Dublin, and it feels like something that was promised to me has been taken back. And we have to live with that now.
House private. I don't know. I probably haven't felt like this in sport since the Henri handball. Like, I've had moments as, personally, like Monaghan have lost all Ireland semi-finals by a point, but as a collective, you know, the Irish rugby team have lost painfully in World Cup quarter-finals. But this feels different because of the nature of the game. Like, if Spielberg or Scorsese had to script last night in the form of heartbreak, I don't think last night could have been any more heartbreaking. To take a 2-0 lead,
yeah,
to give it away so stupidly with the penalty, and then for them to score relatively late on again with a free kick that shouldn't have been given away, and then for it to go to penalties, and also for us to feel like we almost had it won on penalties after three penalties each, we're ahead, and from that point on, the wheels just come off. So I don't think I felt like this. Like last night, I said to Aoife at home, I don't know if I can go in tomorrow. I don't know if I can talk about this. I think we all know that feeling this morning. But she said to me, you have a professional duty to be like a therapist. I think we all need to go through this. It's almost like a public service this morning. That everyone watching or listening this morning, yeah, I think, wants that. We're not going to feel any better maybe this time, 2 hours, but hopefully it'll be cathartic to talk it through. I don't know.
It's healthy to talk it through, I suppose. It's, yeah.
Eve,
Colum,
you're used to heartbreak with Spurs.
I am. This feels different. I'm not going to say it necessarily feels better or worse. It's similar to you, Dar. Like, I'm 24 as well. This was the closest. It feels like something was so close and it's dangled in front of you. Not even, obviously, we would have had to get through another match before even thinking about qualifying, yeah, for the World Cup. But even getting to that stage felt so much. It was just so much more than I'd ever experienced before as an Irish football fan. And like, it's knowing that it's kind of A, completely gone, and B, that it was kind of the exact time when personally it would have felt so amazing. And I fell for the trick of imagining how fun the summer would have been, which I just know now, and I should have known before, never to get my hopes up, ever.
And we won't.
Ever again.
But we all knew, there's something about being a Republic of Ireland football fan that we all kind of knew, even at 2-0 up.
Yeah.
For those 4 minutes at 2-0 up, I think we all felt that it's not going to continue like this. Something is going to happen that's going to make this a nervy night, and it did. I still felt that Ireland would get over the line, and even in the second period of extra time, you're starting to think, Ireland could nick a goal here. Mightn't even go to penalties. And look, we'll get into all the chances, and Malumbi hitting the post and the lovely save from the keeper for Troy Parrott's header. Collins hits the crossbar in the first half as well. Mm-hmm. It's all really for naught. But it's just hard to pinpoint. Like, everyone in the YouTube comments this morning, and this is what Irish football does, is people look for a scapegoat. And unfortunately, fingers are going to be pointed at Ryan Manning for giving away the penalty stupidly. Fingers are going to be pointed at Alan Brown for his performance when he came on, and also for missing the penalty. Finn Azaz for missing the penalty as well. I think it's a bit unfair this morning maybe to look for a scapegoat, because those lads put their hands up in a very difficult situation to score a penalty in front of the Czech ultras and just didn't materialise.
Yeah, with Manning in particular, I think it's ridiculous, some of the talk that's going around. You look at the last 12 months in Irish football, he's been one of the shining lights and the guy that's come out and performed every single game. It's a half-second decision, which is the wrong decision. But, you know, it's heat of the moment. You know, any professional sports person will tell you that you don't even realise that you've done it.
Mm.
It's when the referee blows the whistle and then you're like, oh, shite.
And he knew straight away, yeah.
Yeah. So people blaming him. I had a good game after that as well. Mm. Thought he was pretty good overall. But yeah, there's so many ways we win that game and lose that game. So that was obviously a big turning point. It kind of gave them a new lease of life in that game, because they really looked, they were very poor in that first 20. They were really bad.
Those first 20 minutes, it wasn't at all what I anticipated going into this game, you know, dominating the possession, looking very in control. And I think that's just why the Manning giving away that penalty sort of kind of took us so hard, because it was so opposite to what we've been doing so far. It was a lack of control in a game where we had, up until that point, played very maturely. And unfortunately, I think from there, it became the very scrappy game that I'd maybe anticipated going in.
Yeah.
Let's grief rank this.
Okay.
Where does it lie? Oof.
There's always recency bias with these things, but for me, I think on a par with the Henry handball. And I was
that devastated. Was a sense of injustice, wasn't it?
It was injustice.
Yeah.
It was injustice, yeah. And maybe there's no injustice.
What is
with
this
one? This is just pure, you know, like if Ireland had lost 2-0 last night, or, you know, not given away goals as stupidly as they did, if the Czechs scored two really good goals, you'd be like thinking, okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
This is nearly top of the list, Colm, I think. Like, and it's not only that, but at around 80 minutes, with 10 minutes left, Ireland are 2-1 up. There's a moment where the Parrott save happens. Then Robbie Brady, you know, crunches in. Does he win a goal kick? And Malumbi comes in and G's him up, and Brady G's up the crowd.
Mm.
And then Depeche Mode, just can't get enough, rings out amongst the Irish fans. And you're thinking, Jesus, lads, we actually might do this. It's going to be a long 9 minutes plus stoppage time, but we might do this in normal time.
Yeah.
And then Krejci scores the header from a silly free given away. And look, Krejci could have won it at the end of normal time. There was a decent chance for the Czechs. But on a pain Richter scale,
it is up there, you know. One
for you.
Yeah, because it's there's no one to blame here except. What the hell happened, you know?
Yeah.
Well, there are moments where we can blame.
Well, here's what I think, right? I think it's fair enough to surmise that last night the Republic of Ireland threw it away. And last night the Republic of Ireland can also be fairly proud of where they've gone. And I don't think it's outrageous to have both those feelings this morning, which is, I think, why everyone feels so lost. We have many comments coming in. Like, you are a guest on this show this morning as much as any other time, and you're living up to your side of it, because one person had just said, I'm sitting on the floor. I think it was Pewell. And that's how it feels. With Thierry Henry, I mean, the country stopped in terms of a news cycle. That jumped right up to the top, and Liveline was being called out the gap, and we asked to be Team 33, which ended up being a segment on this show. In the book about VAR, that'll be the first chapter, Thierry Henry's handball. That almost went beyond Ireland. But this is contained within the country that everyone else just be like, oh, I saw the Czechs beat Ireland last night. But for us, we have to live with this. Yeah. This is sad. This is the adrenaline rush of morning is gone already.
Mm.
You know, and I think the worst thing is there was an attachment there to this team that was growing. This was a summer love, and yeah. Summer's over now. Just when you saw them, what really got me at one point there last night was in the final whistle when all the squad gathers and just stares up at the Irish section, just staring at them back, mostly getting applauded back, I imagine. Because what can you say to them? Within the match, stupid errors. Within the game, we stopped playing ball in the second half. We stopped having outlets. Teodosio Benny was playing his own match. Did a little Gareth Bale run there in his last contribution in the game. That throw-in by Jacob Bryan, which was flicked on, which Troy Parrott headed on, the keeper saved around the post, that was stemmed from Ogbeni just getting the ball and running in the right wing with no one to help him. What happened in the second half compared to the first half? For the first half, we're looking good. Nathan Collins hits the bar.
Yep.
Later on, Malumbi hits the post. But before that, we're playing a bit of ball, playing it with a bit of confidence. The Czechs are giving us an unbelievable amount of space in midfield. They don't know what to do with it. And suddenly, this is an unrecognisable team from last year. But the result is still the same as every campaign since we last qualified for the World Cup in 2002. You were less than a year old. This is growing and growing and growing for people.
Yeah, it's as you said, Dara, it's the promise of what would have been. Some people said, oh, we would have gone on to lose to Denmark on Tuesday night anyway. There's no guarantee of that. Like, home in Dublin with 5-1 revenge on the mind, there's no guarantee. And Denmark obviously coming in bouncing after their 4-0 win last night. But it's the promise of the Azteca in the summer. It's the promise of the heat in Atlanta and the green takeover of Guadalajara. Like, what would have been this summer, the pints in the beer gardens and the memories with your mates and with your family, and in our case with our kids, like with your parents.
You know, it felt premature that this is over. The full time I was like, there's surely another chance.
Yeah.
Like a desperate addict. You're like, no, that can't be it.
Yeah, you're looking at the goalkeeper's feet on the penalty. You're like, he stepped off the line.
That can't be it. That penalty has to be retaken.
Yeah.
But even at the final whistle, it's like, but this can't be over. Like, we're only getting going here from the Portugal-Hungary thing. This is only starting, Eve.
But you know what? I wouldn't take back those kind of the last 4 months for anything.
This week has been one of the most enjoyable weeks of our sporting lives working in this field.
If games could be won on vibes alone, from fans, then we would have won.
Because the question was about, you know, the Portugal and Hunger Games were so long ago. How do you carry forward momentum, you know, when you're the players haven't been together for such a long time? But the momentum of this week from the fans, like, I know it's very cliche and kind of doesn't need to be said that the Irish fans are the best in the world, but everyone in Prague got to give, it just looked so incredible. Everyone here was all buying into it. The country felt very united, same as it did after that Hungary game. And it's been an incredible experience, and that's why it hurts so much. I feel like if we had scraped past Hungary and then at that 4 month wait, you kind of go, whatever. But the fact that we did it in such dramatic and emphatic fashion has just meant that this week meant more. And that's why it hurts as much as it does.
Yeah. That's well said. It's hard to believe, lads. It's kind of a state of shock here, sporting shock.
Yeah.
Through the headlines here this morning, we went through it yesterday. It's just the complete opposite vibe to yesterday. But we can still have a good time in our grief if we try. Ireland left to pay the penalty on a shattering night in Prague. The back page of the front page of the sporting section of the Irish Times. It's checkmate as Irish pay penalty after playing down importance of shootout practice. Ireland crashed out on penalties in Prague. That's the back of the Irish Daily Mail. We'll get to that, actually. The whole attitude and preparation towards the penalty shootout. What you think of that? The Irish Daily Star leads in the back with end of the world. And that's a fair sentiment, I think. A sporting sense of it, of course. Sport is the ultimate escape, but it feels very real in mornings like this. End of the world. As well as the Mirror Sport. American Dream dies as Irish blow a 2-goal lead in Prague. And that is one narrative you can take here. We blew it. You don't have to hide away from that. We blew it. We also battled to the end. I don't think it's as cut and dry as whether that was good or bad. I think there's a lot of nuance in last night, which again makes it all the harder. We share Hamer's pain as Dream is all over. That little chuckle from you there.
Could have spared the
Sun Sport.
Yeah, that feels totally inappropriate. I don't like the puns this morning.
No, it is sad. You know, we had Conor Moore was coming in this morning. Conor Moore was going to do the show with us, and we couldn't do it.
Would have felt wrong.
We couldn't do it in a morning like this. Yeah. I mean, we'll do it again, but we couldn't do it. Ireland paid the costliest penalty is at the front page of the sports section on the Irish Examiner. And we'll get into the player ratings too as well, because you know, in mornings like this, you kind of start with the overall feeling, you get into the player section, then it becomes very objective about football, isn't it? Yeah. And a lot of, well, we're not quite good enough in midfield or whatever. But right now, we're kind of glowing in the feeling of this. It's a collective sporting anguish that we're all feeling. This is very unusual that we all feel the exact same way at once. World of Pain is the lead on the sports section of the Irish Independent. Penalty to spare as Azaz and Brown, for Azaz and Brown, I should say, as Czechs bounce back from 2-0 down to break Irish hearts. And they do their best to try and move on here, the Irish Independent. McMillan implores players to generate positive news from Munster.
No,
I don't know about you all out there. It feels like the right thing to do is luxuriate in this pain. It is somewhat cathartic.
There's no way to get around it.
There is no way to get around it, indeed. Do we have Nathan Collins available?
I think we do, yeah.
Possibility.
This is a very sombre Nathan Collins in the post-match.
Well, I haven't quite there yet. Momentarily, here we go.
This is going to be a very hard watch, the World Cup this summer, isn't it?
Yes. It will be, yeah. It will. I think Tuesday will actually be incredibly difficult.
Jesus, yeah.
Coming, I mean, I don't know if people out there are going to the Aviva against North Macedonia. Oh my God, I didn't even say that out loud. But if you are going, it'll be interesting if you have a ticket, if you still want to go, if you still want to support them. I'll be fascinated to see the type of reaction the players get by the fans in the stadium. I imagine it'll be fair play for your efforts.
I think it will be, yeah.
I think it will be.
But I don't know if you're going to see a lot of green seats as well.
There's not going to be a lot of North Macedonians there either. They're not going to travel.
You never know.
Nathan, a cruel, bitter defeat here in Prague tonight. I know it's really hard to do. Could you try and sum up your thoughts for us at the moment?
Just broken, like, you know. Don't have much words to put into, like, it's just tough, really hard to take and accept, yeah.
You took the lead early in the game and a second went in. How crucial was that moment just after the second goal where the penalty's given and Czechia get a foothold back in the game?
Yeah, it's a tough time to concede, like, you know, that minute, and you know, after going 2-0 up, I felt we were in a good place and I didn't think they were going to hurt us that much. I thought we were in a good place. But the timing of that, it killed us a little.
In the back three, you defended so well throughout the game. There was never really any real threat from the Czechs throughout it. What was going through your head when the second goal goes in at the corner and Krejci gets a free header at the front post?
I don't know. I'd need to see it back. It's hard to remember it, really. I don't even know what the free kick come from. I don't know what happened, so I'd need to see that back.
Robbie Brady is a foul in the corner. When the game goes to extra time, and obviously both sides are just extremely tired, obviously Sammy Smolik then is involved in a horrific incident, and we're glad to hear that he's doing well in the hospital now. How do side cope with that? And in it, really, the atmosphere ramped up in here as well. How did you as players manage to cope with that and get through that stage?
I don't know. I felt like we'd be a fitter and stronger team in extra time. I think the natural way we have football in England or Ireland, it's an intense game, so I thought fitness-wise we'd be stronger. And it's just about mentally checking back in after conceding that second one, you know, just bouncing back and having a good attitude. And I thought we'd done that well. First half of the extra time, we were probably a bit slow and didn't keep the ball. Second half, I thought we were better. We had a couple of chances as well, and that's another day one of them goes in.
There's a lot of physical battles out there, and obviously, like we said, Sammy Smolik was involved in a serious one of them. Did you feel maybe they were going a bit overboard with those type of tackles? I know their manager Miroslav Kubek said the other day that they wanted to make this a war. Did you feel like it was like that out in the pitch?
No, I thought it was fair enough. I thought the ref did well. They're going both ways. You give them both ways. I thought it was a good battle. I thought we were winning the battle, to be honest. I thought we won a lot of duels. Strikers won a lot of duels. I thought we were probably the better team in that aspect. So no, I had to say that.
I know it's really tough at the moment to try and take and really comprehend this result, but you've given the fans in the stadium here and the people at home so much to dream over the last couple of months. Is there anything you could take away from that?
I think it's hard to say now. Obviously, you're just heartbroken and tough, but the connection we create with the fans is something we want to build on and make it a massive thing where we as a country can get better at football. We as a country as a whole can get to tournaments and be together. So that's the only thing I can take from that right now, and we have to keep doing it for them and keep playing to the best of our ability.
Thanks, Nathan. Hard luck tonight.
Nathan Collins speaking to Ben Simons after the game last night.
Yeah.
It's tough, lads. I'm going to have the ambulance siren blaring,
oh my God,
in my ears for a long time. The Irish penalties, obviously someone in the crowd And in fairness, that's what home advantage does for you.
This like, this means nothing to you two.
I saw comments about it after the fact, but I heard it.
So even for context, even Dara were out watching this, myself and Shane at home.
Yes.
I was half looking outside, being, what's going on outside?
I did the exact same thing.
Really?
I looked out in the hall, I thought it was my child crying in bed or something. Yeah. I was like, what?
I was looking at the monitor, I was doing all, I was like, is this just for the Irish penalties as well?
Yeah.
And it was, just to fit in the crowd.
Right. Yeah, it was obviously a megaphone and someone.
I don't have much of an issue with that.
That's why we lost, Team 33.
Yeah. I thought the referee, like in the first half particularly, was easier to give those couple of yellow cards to Irish players. The Czechs were getting their warnings, very obvious warnings. Kufal, just before half time, had a challenge that was clearly a yellow card. Look, it doesn't matter, but that was just one thing I noticed.
What's the, like, we all have the headline, right? Of obviously the saddest thing is the result. I mean, look, there is a head in the hand straight away, right? But what's the first thing you think of? When you think of last night, like what's the main lead heartbreak from it?
Manning giving away the penalty.
Is it?
Straight away, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
2-0 up for 4 minutes, and then he does that, and it just lifts the crowd. It gets them back into it. I think Ireland, if that penalty hadn't been given away, Ireland would have gone on to score a third before half time potentially. The Czechs' body language was horrendous, and that just got them right back into it.
Yeah, I don't want to do the sexual if Mianth had balls and all that, but like Jason Mullumby's attempt.
That's what I'm thinking of the woodwork.
That's 3-1.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of Nathan Collins when he hit the crossbar, and then like moments later, nearly scores a header from the corner.
Oh yeah,
puts it wide.
The result in the corner. Yeah. That was a big chance.
It struck me.
It's self infliction and missed opportunity is what you're thinking. That's the summary.
As you said earlier, there were so many ways we could have won that game. Mm. You know.
Yeah, I felt it was over when Alan Brown was walking up to take the penalty. I watched back the Slovakia penalty that he missed in the playoff in 2020, and he hit it the same side. If I'm the keeper, and we saw the Czech keeper, same as Kelleher, you know, getting his final notes before the shootout and looking at who's going to be the Irish penalty takers.
Yeah.
If he's looking at Alan Brown's notes, he knows he's going to go across his own body and go into his own left, the keeper's right, and he did.
Yeah.
Like, so predictable. He takes a stutter, Brown, on his first step. He still has 3 steps to go to the ball. The keeper's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah, you made that point this morning.
It was so silly. It was a nervy penalty, and I'm not going to hold it against him. He wanted to maybe make up for what happened in Slovakia 6 years ago, but I didn't fancy him whatsoever in the shootout. I fancied I was the same as yourself when he was walking up. Really didn't fancy the Czech lad who missed and Kelleher saved it. He looked nervous, and from that moment on, I was thinking, that was the moment where I thought again, we could do this here.
I default in most penalty shootouts thinking the player's going to miss. He's going to miss. Look at the front of him, he's going to miss. I was like, I've never been more sure in my life that Adam Eady was going to miss. And it was a fantastic penalty.
Brilliant.
For a guy who has not played much football for Swansea. And my actual prediction was based on the fact that he's not playing. And his confidence must be quite low because he got sold by Celtic when he was scoring a few goals without playing that well and all that. But when Brown walked up, I went 2 penalties ahead in my head. And I hate to say that about a local fella down the road, a guy who gives it his all for the Republic of Ireland, who Matthew Brennan himself was predicting would be starting centre-mid or wanted that to happen. Mm-hmm. He's been great for Ireland, especially latter time Stephen Kenny, who was one of our positives coming on and fitting in all sorts of different positions.
Yeah.
But he didn't have a good game when he came on. And there's Keith Tracy waving in the window, bursting to get involved here.
A lack of game time for Robbie Brady showed up. He had a couple of good moments. Yeah. He was physical.
Lack of game time overall, Shane.
Yeah.
In this whole squad, it's the team. Sorry, go on.
He had a couple of really good physical moments. He took his penalty in the shootout really well. His corners, like, he just knew it was going lofted back post way too far for his 3 or 4 corners, and it was such a waste. Like, compared to the kind of whip that Manning puts on it, Brady just lofts them into the back post. Sometimes it works because Scales or Collins could be there. I know Scales wasn't involved last night, but headed back across, and that was probably what Brady was thinking. But the execution of some of the set pieces, I thought, was poor as well.
Yeah, I thought Brady was excellent.
So,
all things considered, another guy who's played very, very little club football. Physical. I didn't think he was that fast still. At times, like, he was really showing pace. Mm. And I thought the free he gave away for the Czech second goal, a bit dubious. I didn't think there was much in it now.
Yeah.
I didn't think there was much in it. Like, I'll be honest.
Briefly outrageous. I was like, that's not where the corner's taken.
That's the last shot.
Oh, yeah, it's a free. And it was just that, like, that was such a stupid goal to concede because Krejci, the Wolves boy, he was their captain, wearing number 7 in his part of a back three. It was all over the place, that logic. And he gets in the middle of a foursome with Ireland, and somehow it goes in. And even the way he finishes it, like, he's his back to the ball.
Looking at it,
yeah.
It's just so frustrating, and it was just such a
just a stupid goal to give away. Like, I'd be nearly more annoyed about that than the penalty, which was Ryan Manning, which he went off on a solo mission.
Yeah.
I don't know what he was at. But at least that's easily explained right in front of you. It was like, that was just stupid. What were you thinking about?
When Sammy Smodic was coming off the bench in extra time, he looked so pumped. He looked so up for it. And I was thinking in my head, this is such a moment for a player to redeem himself, a player who a lot of Irish fans have issues with for maybe missing a squad or two. And I just thought it was set up for him. Obviously, hope he's okay, because it looked horrible what happened to him last night. And I think he's in recovery and he's going to head home maybe a day or two. But
yeah, I know. That was like, for a brief moment in the match last night, it was like, Jesus, this is possibly more important than anything that's happening right now, because it was the reaction of the staff and players around them briefly, but thankfully that doesn't seem to be the case.
Can I say, is a bit mad that we've been on air for 25 minutes now and I don't think one of us has mentioned Troy Parrott?
Well, it's an interesting one. He did his job, so to speak, got his penalty, got his shootout, nearly scored that header. I want a little bit more from him in open play. Now, he wasn't supported an awful lot of the time. There was a moment when Ogbeni went on the overlap, and if he was a bit quicker with his feet part, he would have played him in. I thought he was a bit conservative at times. That's just the standards I'd have for Troy Parrott. Like, if he was making his first appearance for Ireland, I would say good game, whatever.
Yeah.
But I just have an expectation about him. But yeah, I suppose,
I think every player on that pitch, I think that's the pervading sentiment, that we can look at all these chances that we didn't take and how many ways we could have won. But I don't think any player on that pitch let themselves down with the game that they played.
Definitely. That's exactly what I was going to ask you all now, what you thought about certainly the starting 11. Was like, I can't really think, lads, of anyone who had a bad game.
Yeah,
Ryan Manning had that terrible moment, but overall I thought he was okay. I thought he played fine. I thought Jack Taylor was fine in midfield. I thought he was grand.
Yellow card hampered him.
Yeah. You're looking around and usually someone's underperforming in this Irish generation you're talking about. Someone collecting. Dar O'Shea had a good game. Nathan Collins was decent.
This is brilliant, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I was really impressed with Nathan Collins.
Dar O'Shea was class, as well.
Yeah.
I know we have Owen on the line ready to go. Before we do, I'm not a fan. I'm actually an active disliker of moral victories. I think they're pointless and stupid. But the lads did us very proud. Overall, like, you look at someone like Ogbeni, who's played 39 minutes this side of Christmas for his club. He's been playing under 21 reserve football. Goes out and has a player to match performance. And, you know, we talk about the journey we had. You think about the Armenian games, the Hungary game away, what that team has been through. And then you have the Portugal game, the Hungary game, and what that moment meant in the nation. And to come so close away from home in a hostile environment like that. And again, not one for moral victories, but we're not let down at all.
That's why I woke up this morning and decided I'll wear this. That's why Cullen is wearing his behind closed doors jersey there as well. Like, you know,
it'll come off.
It's the pride. The pride is still there in the team, and look, it's hard to think to the Nations League and Euros in 2028, but we will bounce back.
We will
bounce back. Calls for optimism with this team, for sure.
Totally,
we will. Or will we? I don't know. We'll get to your comments. There's loads coming in there. Up ahead of us in the show, we have Andy Reid, we have Stewie Byrne, we have Stephen Doyle, Phil Egan, Keith Tracy, and plenty more besides. But right now, Owen Shane, you once got diverted. Wish our hearts were diverted away from this pain. Good morning.
Morning, and Shane, the good news is that we don't even have to wait for the Nations League or the Euro 2028. Macedonia next Tuesday, baby.
Oh, yes. Looking forward to it. Yeah. Owen put up an Instagram story last night of perhaps the bleakest looking pint setup that I've ever seen. Owen, you might just describe the feeling of that and the pain and the
describe the pint, Owen, please.
Describe the pint. It looked horrible, to be honest. The vibe.
Yeah, it was even by my standards remarkably depressing. Just went in search of like a late pints, to be fair. Just wanted one, didn't want to go to any of the busy spots because I guess, you know, just wanted a moment of solitude and reflection. And the only place that I could find was this place with very bright white lights, blaring electronic music, and two Irish fans in there, one who was, like myself, sitting on a stool, staring into the middle distance, and the other fan who had fallen asleep into his pint. And it was a perfect vista, really, which summed up the evening where it had just begun to sink in. You know, they often say that you need to go to bed and wake up to realise that it isn't actually a dream. And certainly getting out of bed here now to speak to you guys and listening to you there for the last couple of minutes, this is real. And that's unfortunate. I was slightly hoping that it was not going to be the reality, because it was a complete sucker punch last night in so many ways.
Yeah, this is Ireland's primary sporting council session this morning on Shane's Live with us from Prague, the first person on the ground talking with us this morning. Owen, if the headline is, well, it's the defeat that hurts the most, what's the content of that? What are you thinking firstly when you think about that match last night?
That the Republic of Ireland had it won twice, that they had the game won in the first half, and then they had the penalty shootout won as well.
Yes.
That I didn't really mind too much that they were shooting into the sort of ultras end. All that I cared about when it came to the penalties was that Ireland would get to go first, that Troy Parrott would take the first penalty in the shootout, if that's the way they went. Because if they got their noses in front, then there'd be no coming back from it, because I really did believe that the Republic of Ireland had the stronger goalkeeper. But crucially, the depth in penalty takers is what cost Ireland. And Azaz and Alan Brown, unfortunately, were the two that would go on to miss. I just really thought, though, that once they missed the first one, that finally Ryan Manning would be able to breathe a sigh of relief, and the fact that, you know, what happened in normal time would actually not matter at all, and Ireland would be playing in a more important game next Tuesday. So that's kind of the first thing that you come away from thinking about. I really do think that if Ireland had got another 10-15 minutes 2-0 in front, that was it. I think that's when the context of this game, the sort of the idea that the Czech team were in disarray last November, I think that might have actually counted for something. If Ireland had gone at half-time 2-0 up, I think the doubts inside in that dressing room would have been real. I think the fact that they managed to just get back with that penalty just gave them a slight sense of hope. And then the pressure came in the third quarter, which was all important. Like, it's interesting that you talked there about the Krejci goal. I'm not entirely sure that's a free. There's a passage of play about 2 minutes beforehand, I think. I haven't watched the game back, where Alan Brown gives away a foul on not too far away from the opposition box. I'm not sure that's a foul. I haven't seen any replays of that. We didn't have any monitors in front of us. I could be totally wrong on the Alan Brown one, but my instinct at the time watching that was, geez, that's a harsh free. If we get a free kick and we can put a delivery into the Czech box at this stage in the game, that's just a massive pressure relieving moment. But unfortunately, they went up the other end of the pitch, the Czechs, and eventually that leads to the dead ball situation, which eventually leads to the equaliser. There'll be an interesting discussion, I think, lads, about how Ireland dealt with the pressure. I mean, Caoimhín Kelleher's distribution last night was long. It was struggling to find a good target man. Maybe it was down to inaccuracy. Maybe it was down to the options and the physicality, the options versus the Czech defenders. There was a couple of moments. There was one brilliant moment, I thought, from Dara O'Shea, where he decided, listen, that the long balls aren't going well here. I'm just going to dribble out of defence here. And he gets fouled, relieves the pressure. And those are the sorts of moments we'd be talking about this morning, if Ireland had clung on to a 2-1 win. So maybe that becomes the theme over the next couple of days, how Ireland actually deal with the pressure of holding on to a lead.
Yeah, it's a good point to make for sure, because I noted it here on and Shane last night, and just looking back at the notes I was making live, and just before half time, do you remember when Finn Azaz swiveled in the box, took a shot with his left foot? It ended up being a very comfortable save for the goalkeeper.
Looked good for a second.
Yeah, it did actually on TV. But the build-up play to that was really impressive. Mm. There was like real fizzing passing. All of it was positive. It was exactly when you're watching it on the TV perspective where you wanted the ball to go. They were playing it like time. It was like, it sounds very basic for professional footballers. You don't actually see it too often with this Republic of Ireland side. Mm. And that was when they had the lead halved. But I don't know what happened at half time on. But in the second half, I don't think we saw those options on the ball that we had in that instance.
Yeah, definitely. And the thing from that Finn Azaz sort of half chance, it was Dara O'Shea involved in the build-up again and deep in the opposition half. Nathan Collins with a long ball that sets up the opportunity in the first instance. Of long ball is great when the option is there. When it was the searching ball over the top to find an Ogbeni, it was fantastic. Because I agree with the point about Troy Parrott being largely ineffective from open play, but he probably did make the Czech defence think twice, and he probably dragged an extra man in. That probably allowed Ogbeni to get into the game a little bit more. What changed in that third quarter, that Ireland were under the caution, they didn't look as good in the ball. I did feel the Czech press was non-existent in the first half at times. I felt they were in a bit of disarray, and O'Shea and Collins looked exceptional, so they probably got to grips on that. They probably started to remind themselves that if you can put this Ireland team under pressure, maybe they're not world class on the ball, which we know ourselves, and that's not anything new. We would have said that after the highs of the Hungary game and the Portugal game as well. And I just couldn't believe really in the first half how good that Ireland defence looked on the ball. It probably was to do with a lack of Czech pressure. And maybe that comes back to the penalty they scored in the first half. That extra bit of belief that Kubek could go in at halftime and say, listen, lads, into them, they're not as good as they maybe showed in that first quarter. And that was a killer.
Yeah, I almost felt like that Czech domination in the third quarter was inevitable. Like, home team, only a goal down, crowd getting behind them. Owen, I was listening to yourself with Stewie Byrne on the show last night after the full-time whistle, and like, you asked the question, and this is where this is the lump in the throat question, where we talk about Seamus Coleman, and you brought this question up last night, and the fact that Coleman is 37 years of age, he'll be 41 naturally in 4 years' time, looks like he'll never play at a World Cup finals. That's one of the, maybe it's too soon to talk about this, but that's one of the most gut-wrenching things about this, isn't it? The Seamus Coleman angle, I suppose.
Yeah, and look, as we know, there is a game on Tuesday. Is that, you know, I'm not sure what his future in international football is beyond that. So you just try to think in broader terms, and it is deeply, deeply unlikely that he could go for another 4 years. You never know with the Euros in 2028. He's proved everybody wrong in this campaign, but you'd say that would have to be fanciful as well. And whenever he does decide that he's played his last game for Ireland or is about to play his last game for Ireland, the tribute will include something around the idea of him being one of Ireland's greatest ever players. And I thought he was very good last night. I think his performance is getting mixed reviews. I thought he actually had a good first half. I thought he was involved. And even just the fact that he is just such a conductor out there with regards to throw-ins, obviously the penalty situation, as we saw in Hungary and as we saw again last night, lengthy VAR check, Seamus Coleman has the ball, he's letting Troy Parrott stand on the edge of the box, allowing him to compose himself. But even just the when it comes to set pieces and everything down his side of the pitch, he is the manager on the pitch, so to speak, and you can just kind of see the aura that he has when it comes to his own teammates. It wasn't a perfect performance from him last night, but I still thought he was very good, to be honest. And it is likely the last World Cup qualifying game that he will have played. And that is devastating. That being said, you tally the outs and the continuations in this team, and it is largely a story of continuation going into the next campaign. And if the first quarter performance from Ireland last night came as a result of maybe the confidence garnered last November, and from those performances, you'd have to think that there is a bit of momentum gathering with this team now. Even if Coleman retires, even if John Egan were to depart the international panel, I think the growth in terms of the rest of the players there last night, in terms of the rest of the starting 10 players, for example, I think that's been a net gain since last November. But that is absolutely zero consolation this morning, because that net gain, I think, deserved a place at the 2026 World Cup finals.
Owen Shane, try to enjoy your day of grief.
Cheers, lads.
All the best. Say, Paul.
Slán.
I should say, to break away from this sadness, to tell you, Off the Ball Breakfast is with Viagra Connect. 50 milligram film-coated tablets contain sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. The maximum dosage. Is 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie, subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
There's stages of grief, isn't there? Is it 5 stages?
Yeah. We're going to get out of it together. We are going to spend the whole show doing this. So, like, do get involved as much as you want, and we'll bring you in as well. Thanks a million for the comments so far. We're actually trying to collect as many as we can that summarise the overall feeling. Some of them are just real harsh on certain players, Shane, you know?
Yeah.
For instance, one of them now, this, I'm not talking putting this in the harsh category, but this is how many feel. M. Daly 4179 says, can't expect much more with so many average championship players. I would have thought more, is a lot of players not playing an awful lot regularly.
Yeah. I like Aaron's comment. He says, we can all grieve defeats in our own way, but I won't stand for Irish fan hypocrisy. Back the boys on Tuesday, I'll be there, and roll on Kosovo. Yeah. It's tough to think about that right now, but yeah, we should back the players, and they did themselves proud, albeit this is hard to talk about and hard to take.
Andy Reid, we should start by wishing Mrs. Reid a very happy birthday, and hope you're looking forward to London today.
It's not much to be happy about, but don't tell her that.
All right, where do you want to start? Because, like, we're going to be asking Shane the same questions over and over again. But it's, I suppose, it's where people are pinpointing their anguish. And what is it for you, Andy? Is it that we had it in control and we lost it? Are you proud of the players? Is it a mixture of everything? How are you feeling this morning?
Well, look, you can't knock the work ethic of the players and how they went after trying to kind of achieve what they were going after, I suppose. But the disappointing thing for me, and what's the thing that really kind of gets me, is that that was a game that was so winnable last night. Never mind going to penalties and, you know, kind of take away the penalties, because it can become a bit of a lottery when you go into penalties. But that game itself, in 90 minutes or even in extra time, for me was such a winnable game. I thought they were a poor team, the Czechs, if I'm being totally honest with you. I thought we made a great start to the game. And then, you know, you kind of, you get the goals, and then you know you're probably going to come under a bit of pressure a little bit, but I just felt we dropped off a little bit too much, and we could have really gone after them. Because like I say, I thought they were a poor team. So for me, that's it. There's times that I've watched Ireland over the last probably 10 years and looked at them going into games and seen them in games and thought, I'm not too sure they're good enough to win this game, and it's going to be a real struggle to win this game. But I didn't feel that about the game last night. I felt that it was a game that you could really go get after them and go and win the game of football, and unfortunately it didn't happen.
Yeah, the midfield is always a source of conversation when it comes to the Republic of Ireland. How did you think that we fared in the middle of the park?
Probably as we expected, really. I thought at times throughout the game we kind of were competitive, landed on second balls and kind of competed quite well. But I do feel that there were times in the game where, like I said, we dropped too deep, and what you found from them, we were dropping kind of into a, I would say, a mid to low block, and because of the physical big players that they had, they were happy to just kind of launch it in there. And that causes you then problems where there's a feel that you could probably get 20, 30 yards up the pitch. I'm not saying go on high press them and leave kind of gaps. What I'm saying is kind of keep the units tight, but put more pressure on them in and around the halfway line to stop them kind of launching them balls in. And I just felt at times we didn't do that well enough when we kind of smelt blood, which we kind of got to a point where I thought we can go on and win this game really comfortably. I just felt that we didn't have that kind of killer instinct to really get after them and really put them under more pressure then.
Do you know what struck me, Andy? I thought we had options on the ball in the first half when in possession. There were some nice passes strung together from midfield and above. I felt that was gone in the second half, that Ogbeni was carrying the ball, desperately looking for options and winning us cheap frees and throws and corners that we were desperate for. And it got me to thinking at one point in the second half, Jesus Christ, if it wasn't for Ogbeni, we wouldn't be getting out at all here. Now, it's a very different performance there to what preceded it about a half an hour earlier.
I think that's probably a fair assessment. But I also think on it that you need to have a bit of both. So if you've got a player like Ogbeni in the team, he is a ball carrier and he is somebody who can get you up the pitch. So you want to be able to use that at times. But I do agree with you is that you don't want that to be the case all the time. And you don't want him to have the one to kind of drag you up the pitch. I thought we picked up some really good pockets in the first half, particularly the first probably 30, 35 minutes until we conceded. There was gaps there and we were kind of finding the tens and we were getting into decent areas. We were taking 3, 4, 5 players out of play with our forward passing. And like you say, in the second half, it just felt a bit more kind of a bit more rushed. It felt a bit more panicked. There wasn't really enough composure to keep the ball. I think we had probably one spell of possession in the second half where we kept it and we had a nice little spell, and it was in and around that time I thought, right, I think we're going to do this, we're going to see it out. But we didn't. The goals you can see that are difficult ones to take as well, aren't they? You know, they're just really poor avoidable goals.
So poor. I'm almost asking this question, Andy, as devil's advocate, because I read the comments in the Sunday papers last weekend from Hamer Halgrimsson that the team hadn't practiced penalties as a group and it was being left to individuals, and it was hard to replicate the environment of a real pressure penalty shootout. And furthermore to that, Craig Bellamy, you know, his Welsh team really did practice penalties, as he said, and they lost their shootout last night 4-2 to Bosnia and Herzegovina. Do you look at those Hamer comments now about not practicing penalties as a group and have regrets. I know hindsight is 20-20 and maybe leaving the players to do their thing is the right way to go about it. But I guess we lost the shootout last night, so the question is going to come up.
Yeah, the question is going to come up, and like you say, we lost a penalty shootout, and we didn't practice them. Wales practiced them, and they lost their penalty shootout. So, not to say that there's right or wrong. If it was me, in my personal opinion, I would have had the team practicing penalties. Yeah. I just think that kind of, I suppose, muscle memory, getting into that, striking the ball well, you know, just kind of looking to try and hit the side net and getting good pace on it, keeping it low at times, or aiming for that top corner, and just getting the kind of repetitive nature of the practice in, for me would have been something that I would have liked a team to do. And if I was a player, then I would have liked to kind of do that. And to, I mean, what we've done before is I'm talking about club football, when you've got a kind of a big game coming up, and you know it's a cup game, could go to penalties or whatever it is. You kind of line two teams up, and you know you line them up at the halfway line, and you actually replicate a penalty shootout. Now, look, I fully understand that it's not the same as when there's a crowd in there and when there's loads of pressure on that. I fully get that, but I still think the walking up, the placing the ball, just the kind of the feeling around practicing a penalty, I do think helps.
Andy, before I let you go, what do you feel about this Irish team moving forward? Because if I take you back to the 14th of October last year, half-time 0-0 home to Armenia in a game that we had to win, and it didn't look like we would, and what's happened since that moment, it's been an incredible improvement, and they've taken the country with them, and there's an emotional attachment with this side now. But is it sustainable? Is there something to hope for here in the future?
Yeah, I think so. I think there is. If I'm being totally honest with you, probably 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I personally felt kind of a little bit detached, and I know that a lot of Ireland fans did. I've still got a lot of family over there, and I suppose what the team has done over the course of the last year or so, I think has re-engaged people. You know, I think it was, I suppose, to true Irishness, great heroic failure again last night. You know, we all get sick of saying that. You know, we definitely get sick of saying that. But what I think there has been an emotional attachment kind of, and it's been kind of, fans have been re-engaged. How much, I'm not too sure. But what we need to do is we need to back it up now. You know, we need to back up that engagement. And when we do get into some proper games and some qualifiers, you need to start seeing kind of the really good performances. But I would like to see a little bit more kind of belief from the team.
Yeah.
You know, and when I say that, I mean, like, when we were 2-0 up last night, or even when it was 2-1, not kind of sitting back and not kind of taking the pressure, believing that, no, we're a better team than these. Because I looked at that team last night that we played against, and I think that we're a better team than them. I genuinely believe that. But if I don't know, maybe the players did believe that when they stepped onto the pitch. I don't know. But when the game started to get into the balance, and when it started to get to 2-1 and going into late in the stages of the game, I don't feel that we kind of put the foot on the throat so much, and I don't think that we went after the game, because I thought we could have gone on to win it quite comfortably. So a bit more belief, keep the re-engagement, keep getting the fan buy in, and hopefully there's something to build on. Because, you know, you see how excited we were. And this is such a contrasting conversation, isn't it, to the one that we had yesterday morning. You know, you can hear it in my voice, I'm absolutely devastated. I can hear it in yours. You know, look on social media, you see it, everybody devastated last night and this morning. But you look how excited we were yesterday, that we were in this position, that we were ready to go after it. You know, completely different tone of voice and completely different feel. So hopefully they can give us more of them nights.
What the Joy Lips say in the commitments? Joy the Lips. It's more romantic this way. Didn't work out when he tries to justify the disbanding of the band. Listen, you have bigger fish to fry today. You go enjoy your day in London.
I will. I'll do my best, lads. I'll do my best. You take care. And
thanks,
Emil.
Nice one for that. Appreciate it. Big time.
Thanks, Andy.
That's the former Republic of Ireland creative midfielder, of course, Andy Reid, sharing his thoughts. He was on yesterday. He was very excited, Shane. He nailed the tone both times. just for something to look forward to here. So the Ireland fixtures for the rest of the year, right, was Andy was talking about there, we have to keep this going. So we have North Macedonia on Tuesday, as we know, and then next out, then we have Qatar in a friendly on the 28th of May, and then the Nations League starts on the 24th of September away to Kosovo. And then, of course, we have those Israel games to contend with, and Austria as well. So you're looking at autumn before we play anything of note.
Yeah, it's not a topic for this morning, but those Israel games, now that conversation is going to be brought forward. If the World Cup was happening, it would have been a distraction, and maybe that conversation would have only happened after the World Cup this summer, but that's going to be brought forward. I felt like crying at the when the penalties finished last night. I don't remember the last time I cried for a sporting moment, but there was that lump in the throat, and yeah, I had to be cajoled to bed, and I was just sat in front of the screen watching the post-match interviews and glazed over a little bit. It's tough.
There are certain things that get you, isn't there? Like yesterday in the comments, just as before we were rapping, when we were all high as a kite, so excited about what was happening, right? And then someone said Mick Christopher heyday in the comments, and I was like, oh yeah. And you were on about nearly crying the penalties. I nearly shed a tear when I was listening to Stuart Byrne talk with Owen Shane last night, when Owen says, what is it that's most devastating here? And Stewie, what did you say?
Oh, I can't remember. Remind me, Colm.
The penalty.
Yeah, the 2-1, the Manning incident.
Yeah.
You've slept on it.
That's still the case. That's the one that's caused us, like, you know. For two reasons. The obvious one is that it allows them back into the game, but even more importantly, second reason, it never allowed us the opportunity to just calm down.
Yeah.
Get our bearings, settle the game down. We're 2-0 up. Let's try and control this now till half time. And that 20 minutes or so of maybe trying to manage the game with a 2-0 lead, I think would have been huge for us in the second half, because we were all over the place in the second half. We just couldn't get control of the situation at all. We were just watching the game. We knew Czechia were going to come out of the blocks. We knew, especially when they made a substitution, when they whipped the read off, and that experiment didn't exactly work. We kind of knew this is going to be a different Czechia outfit in the second half. No real surprises there. The disappointment from Ireland's point of view is that there was never a stage in that second half where we just put a couple of passes together, or we maybe pinned them in a corner, or just had any sense of sort of an element of control. I think we allowed ourselves to get caught up in the manicness of it all, you know, and there was never any self control. It was always, it very quickly became a game of set pieces. It was always going to be second ball stuff. There was a lot of, you know, play acting going on. Sort of the Czechs were very guilty of it in the first half, trying to con the referee. The referee was excellent in that, from that point of view. He wasn't entertaining any of it, and that was very much a huge positive for us, because we were at it. You know, we were at it. It's that simple. That's probably the most impressive first 20-25 minutes I've seen from an Irish team, in considering the situation, considering we're away from home, considering what's at stake. How could you fault that first 20-25 minutes?
Yeah.
You know, it was.
Did our start surprise you?
Not. I tell you what, I don't want to be harsh in the place, because to say surprised, maybe not, but pleasantly surprised, yeah, to be honest, because what I was impressed by was, this is something that we've probably has been a fault of ours for quite a considerable time, and you get that with young teams as well, you know, and that has been, you know, that ability to kind of in the game realise certain situations, that in-game management thing is a huge thing for a group of players, and it comes with experience, and it comes with the, you know, the dynamic of a group being in the right place, and all the, there's all sorts of different factors that lends itself to that. But we've always struggled with that. We've always struggled to, you know, when to realise in the game we're on top, or, you know, where are the pockets, where are the opportunities, how are we going to, you know, create opportunities, so on and so forth. And we did that so well last night. We were just at it. I was watching the game going, we're at it, like, you know. And there's just these times in games where you're just looking and going, we smell blood. We knew we had them on the ropes. They were all over the place. They were erratic. They were making all sorts of mistakes. They looked nervous, and we sensed blood, and we went after them. And it totally deserved to be 2-0 up, like, you know. It could even have been 3, but the fact that we weren't able to just have 5-10 minutes, 2-0 up, let's make them uncomfortable for 10 minutes. Let's really sort of let them sense, you know, they are really up against it. And the lifeline for them was getting back into it so quickly. And that just kept them going until halftime. Manager's able to make a couple of changes, and it's a different game second half.
I know a conversation tends to levitate towards the midfield, and you've mentioned it a couple of times already on the show this morning, Colin, but Stewie, in my head there's almost a tale of two midfielders. Like, I think Steve will mention this last night, Thomas Socek comes off the bench at halftime, brings that experience and steel to the middle of the park for them. And then for us, it's almost a case of the missing midfielder. Like, we have a Premier League captain in Josh Cullen in the prime of his career, possibly at 29 years of age, who was missing last night. And I almost feel like that control in the middle was so key in that second half, and was so key in the Czechs getting back into the game. It's hard to ignore that, really.
Yeah, I mean, I think what probably happened, there's no doubt about it, the change has definitely helped Czechia, and they what they did very well was they started to press us, and they basically kind of pinned us in a little bit. And I think it became very evident very early in the second half that it was going to be a different game. This was going to be a half whereby we're going to soak up pressure here now. We were struggling to get out. Ogbeni had been, he'd been excellent in the first half. He had been that out ball, or that right-hand channel for Ireland had been, had given us so much joy, partially because their skipper, Koresh, he was really poor in the first half. Like, he was struggling a little bit. So that was our out ball. That was the way we were getting out. That didn't happen in the second half. But unfortunately, from Ireland's point of view, the kind of issues that have plagued us in the last couple of years started to creep back in, and everybody started to make silly mistakes. Seamus Coleman was guilty of giving the ball away sloppily. Gareth Kelleher's kicking was awful. Yeah. You could just sense that we needed that few minutes. We just needed that few minutes of trying to kill the game. Maybe somebody just go down, get a bit of treatment, or, you know, just try and calm it all down. It didn't really happen. To be fair to Ireland, and, you know, in particular Darragh O'Shea and even Nathan Collins, they really had to. I mean, I think I'm just thinking back to their tip-off second half. They went for the juggler, big diagonal. This is in the first couple of seconds, big diagonal ball to the back stick. And I think Nathan Collins has had to make a last-ditch header just to kind of stop them from scoring. This is this is the first couple of seconds in the second half. So the warning signs were there very early. The individual errors that crept in, especially for the players that you wouldn't expect it to come from, the likes of Coleman and Kelleher, that was unfortunate. And again, that just didn't allow us time to just have those couple of moments of possession, that allowing us to get up the pitch. Albeit there were still opportunities where we were getting free kicks, especially on the left-hand side, getting free kicks high of the pitch. We were getting opportunities to get deliveries into the box. I mean, we had plenty of set-piece opportunities, whether it was corners or free kicks. You got to give them huge credit. I mean, I don't remember us winning a header in the second half. Yeah. They defended They won every header that came into the box. Every header, like, you know. So from their point of view, considering the mess they were in the first half, you've got to give a little bit of credit to them, yeah. And their quality shone through.
And do you know what? They had a goal-mouth scramble in the last play of normal time,
yep.
The Czechs. And it was kind of pinging around the box a bit. Now, the ref put up his hands, so he might have given an offside.
It's the Krejci chance.
Yeah, he might have given an offside. That point could be moot, but if it was going to stand a hypothetical goal, I think, Stewie, had it gone in there, had they won the game then and there, I think we'd be far more critical this morning. But the only difference is we just lasted another half an hour plus penalties is the same result. But there is something valiant about going to penalties and losing.
I think the takeaway for me is that not so much the penalties. It's the fact that we had their foot on their throat, at least twice. There's two opportunities. You're 2-0 up. That's your first opportunity. You know, you don't take your foot off. And then 85th, 86th minute, you're 2-1 up. And you're getting to that stage where you're just, you know, and this is what we should be good at. This is, you know, it's the difficulties for Ireland has always been getting goals. You know, we had overcome that monkey we had in our back. The Portugal game, the Hungary game, we found the goals. We found that bit of quality. The one thing you would expect us to be good at is seeing out games, like, you know, like being defensively solid. Being able to deal with set pieces, knowing that in the 86th minute you've given a messy free kick away on around the corner flag, you know that the delivery's coming in, you know that they're going to throw everything at it, and we just don't defend the cross at all. And Kress gets the header, and he's quite. I'm not too sure whether it beats the first man, because it's similar to a corner. It's effectively a corner kick. So they're the things that you just, you know, that should be nailed down. That should be nailed down, that stuff. And they're the two things that are really the huge disappointment not only did we have one opportunity to win the game, we actually had three opportunities to win the game. The two opportunities that we just spoke about, and then when Kelleher saves the penalty, we've got an opportunity to get momentum into penalty shootout, and we don't score.
And the first half of extra time, Adamida is so nearly clean through. So nearly. Do you remember that?
Great tackle.
And I thought that the first half extra time, I thought we were like particularly poor. I thought we were really under pressure. Thomas Suchek had a real easy chance at a volley, which he blazed over. But you're recalling it yourself is here as well, Stewie. But Eda's true, and it's Robin Hranach, their number four defence. It's an unbelievable, unbelievable recovery tackle. But Eda's true, like.
But you know what? Even there, Parrott's played him through, and he's just left him a yard short on the pass.
Yeah.
And Eda's got to do a little bit. He's got to slightly check his run, and it just allows the defender to get back in. I watching the coaching staff at half time in extra time, and they were all over Eda, because you could see he was definitely the threat. You could see that exact scenario looked like it was going to present itself on a couple of occasions, because Czechia had committed. They were leaving themselves short in the back, and they were pushing people forward. And then bizarrely enough, the second half of extra time, the Czechs just sat in a little bit. Like,
we had so much space, do we? In the
and
second
then we
half,
all of a sudden look like we're on the we look the team that maybe might actually get this, you know, and that's why even going into the penalty shootout, I thought we finished the 120 minutes slightly the better team, and then you're confident going into the penalty shootouts, and then as it transpires, we have a wonderful opportunity to go and win it, and it doesn't happen. Like the penalty things is, you know, and I know people have been talking about that. This conversation came up during the week with Hallgrimsson and penalties, and look, let's not be fooled about it. I mean, they would have talked about the penalty situation. Yeah. These players they know exactly what they're doing when it comes to penalties. And you can't train for that situation. You could go through the whole week taking penalties every day, walking 50 yards, putting it in the top corner, do it again, when it comes to the game, when it comes to that scenario, you can't train for that. You can't prepare for that. You know, the environment, the cold room that you're in, the 120 minutes that has just gone and passed, the emotional highs of it all. You just can't train for that kind of stuff. And to add to it, Ireland's first three penalties, top notch.
That's true. I mean, that is true, because like if it was the case that they genuinely didn't practice penalties, then like that logic was questioned when the Czechs missed their penalty, when Kelleher saved it. We're like, we're actually winning the shootout. And like you say, Stewie, they were good penalties. The whole thing, but you can't replicate the training scenario. Yeah, but you can't replicate open play in training either, because it all goes back to the same thing. You're playing in front of a crowd at the weekend and you're not in training. You know, you can't...
You can't, and you know, I'm not saying anything that's new here. You go through patterns of play. You try to play a certain way based on, you know, what's how you're set up or what the balance of your team is like. But look at how the game transpired last night. It was chaos. It was manic. But that's the way it goes. And if that's the way it goes, you got to react to it in the game. Okay, you know, these are all over the shop, you know, the space down that left-hand side, the ball's in the air all the time, it's second ball stuff. And we're the team that have actually reacted the best to that scenario. That, you know, we were the ones that looked calm. We were the ones that looked like we were in control and ultimately got our two-goal lead. And it hate to harp onto it, it just comes back to that couple of minutes that we needed to just kill any kind of momentum, to just settle ourselves, to get used to the fact that we're 2-0 up. You know, that even the sheer the fact that, you know, the players individually would have been looking, you know, we're 2-0 up here. So, just kill this for a few minutes. Just kill this for a few minutes. We just didn't get that opportunity. And then I don't think it planted it sowed a seed of doubt in our heads, but it just didn't give us that time, and it had a big positive effect on the Czechs.
Like everyone, Stu, I hate moral victories, and I hate when we turn around after a horrible defeat like this and say, "Oh, weren't our fans great?" But look, you were there on the ground, and you witnessed the Green Brigade in action in Prague, and the amount of fans over there with or without tickets. Infiltrating the home sections as well, and it must have been incredible to witness it. And again, look, it's a moral victory, but a lot of people paid a lot of money to head over to Prague and to be there and soak up the atmosphere. And I think we haven't even mentioned the fans on the show this morning yet, but they do deserve some credit.
Yeah, there might be a bit more than just a moral victory thing going on here. There's no doubt about it that the connection between the supporters and football has definitely been reconnected. I've never been to an away Ireland game, believe it or not. So I've never actually experienced the so-called wonderful away support that we have, but it was amazing. I have to say, it was amazing just to be around the Irish this week, and just to kind of talking to different people, and how they could. I mean, we won over the Czechs. I mean, I was talking to some Czech people. They wanted Ireland to win the game. it was crazy. It was crazy. But on that, you know, we've got to lick our wounds. I'm over it now. I have to say, I do think we have a hell of an opportunity now to really sort of build a team around not just Troy Parrott, who I have no doubt is going to go on to is going to become an even better player, but we have Evan Ferguson to come back into the team as well, who I've no doubt can refine the form that had everyone talking about him. So I do think that it's going to be a difficult, you know, few days, but we have to get over it. It's just that simple.
Stewie, safe home. We'll speak soon. Thanks a million.
Thanks, lads.
Cheers, Stewie.
Off the ball, breakfast.
Ireland's Sports Breakfast Show.